book called Tanti Talks with Messiah, When Intimacy Meets Revelation. She is a Messianic Jewish Bible teacher, author, singer, and songwriter, and a mother of three, and a lovely wife, and the list goes on and on. Jill, thank you so much for being on the show this morning.
Oh, you're welcome.
Which is in itself very rare, because people don't usually use the fax machine much anymore. And I read your book, I couldn't put it down, and literally, I spilled coffee all over your book, in fact, which is pretty funny. I know. So tell us about what led you on this journey with Jesus, or as you call him in your book, Yeshua.
Yes, I call him Yeshua because that was his Hebrew name, and I'm a Jewish believer, and his name means salvation. And the journey, I had received him back in 1973, and I've believed in him ever since then. But in the recent year and a half, I've accelerated in my intimacy with him in a very dramatic way. And that's kind of the story of what prompted the book and moved me into this coffee talks kind of relationship.
Well, you've had an incredible journey going to Israel and spending time there.
Yeah.
And then coming back and really spending intimate time with the Lord. And I want to know what you mean when you say that God requires transparency.
Yeah. This is one of the things that we can walk with the Lord for a very long time and yet not realize. It's one of the lessons he recently taught me during, I was in a period of 3 days of total seclusion with him. And this surprised me, and I think it's incredibly important to him that his people understand this about his heart. Most of us know that God knows our thoughts, and so it's a very natural thought for Christians to think, God already knows everything I'm thinking. Why do I have to tell him everything? He knows. And what the Lord revealed to me during these 3 days of seclusion was that although he knows the thoughts of the heart, it's very important to him that we verbally and transparently and with great vulnerability and honesty tell him everything that we're thinking and feeling. And not just a list of requests, which he's always happy to hear, but he wants to hear the thoughts of our hearts spoken out loud to him as if he's a physical, real person sitting with us with our eyes open, not always screwed shut in prayer, which is also okay. Mm-hmm. But this is a kind of an open-eyed conversation that we ended up calling Coffee Talks.
And we're going to talk more with Jill Shannon, author of Coffee Talks with Messiah, here in just a moment. Right now, though, John Waller, the blessing on the candle. Lighting your way home to Jesus Christ. It is 7:53, just about 6.5 minutes away from 8 o'clock. I'm talking to Jill Shannon. She's author of Coffee Talks with Messiah, talking about how the Lord wants intimacy with us, his children.
He wants to know his people as we know him through his word. He wants to know us intimately, and that requires what I call transparency.
Well, I know my own experience. The times that I spend with God, just one-on-one, are those are the times when he reveals things to me that I wouldn't know or have any idea about on my own. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important, obviously, to carve out time during our day, every day, when it's time for coffee talk, so to speak, or time when we're just sitting in the presence of God, not pouring out a request, like you said, but just having that intimate conversation. How do people get to that point?
Well, you know, what you've said is one of the key ingredients is carving out time, making time. It's in these busy, busy lives that we live, the time is not just going to fall into our laps, you know. We have to treat him as if he's a real high-level person that, you know, if it were someone high up in government, we would make the time. We would set aside other activities and carve out that time. And so I think the one factor is making time to be with him, turning off that cell phone, you know, and just saying, I'm with you, Lord, and nobody else and nothing else is more important. So that's one big factor is the time that you mentioned, Monica. And the other big factor is what I would call the intentionality of our hearts, the focus and the deliberate passion of our hearts toward him, if that makes sense to you.
That makes sense. Now, who was Jesus talking to in the Gospels when he said, I never knew you?
Yeah, isn't that amazing? There are three separate New Testament times, not the same account repeated three times, but three separate accounts where Jesus says these terrible words, I never knew you, depart from me. And one of them is found in Matthew 7, where you see people, he says, many will say to him, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we drive out demons and perform many miracles in your name? And he says, I will say to them, I never knew you. So, Monica, I really believe these people were what I would call professing Christians, because they were doing work in his name. And normally people that don't know him would not say, I did many miracles in your name. And also in Matthew 25, we see the parable of the 10 virgins, and they all had lamps, and that's a source of light, and it says they all went out to meet the bridegroom. So again, these were people that were expecting to meet the bridegroom when he returned. And I believe these 10 represent professing Christians, but 5 of them had extra oil, which is a source of his spirit and his presence lighting our lamp with a source that we don't have within ourselves. And the other 5, and that's half of these 10 virgins, their lights went out when the midnight cry rang out that the bridegroom's here. And he shut the door in their faces and he said, I never knew you. So these terrible, chilling words, we wouldn't wish for anyone that we love to hear these words from him. And I do believe that there are people that think that they know him and that he knows them. But if they haven't filled those lamps with the oil of his spirit, it's a danger, it's a warning that we never, never hear these words.
We'll hear more from Jill Shannon in a little bit. Right now, though, Chris Tomlin, Holy is the Lord on the candle. Lighting your way home, good morning. I'll still have a chance for you to win a family 4-pack of tickets to go see Daddy Day Camp. It is the sequel to Daddy Day Care. And it's playing at the Fairfield 16, and so we thank Regal Entertainment for helping us to bring you those tickets. I also wanted to let you know a couple of things are coming up, and I want to make sure that you don't miss out. On August 22nd, that's tomorrow, Blazing a Trail Through Times of Transition. That starts at 6:15 p.m. with Speaker Marianne Lane at the Women's Center in St. Helena. August 24th, a prayer and healing service at Foothill Christian Fellowship in Napa. That's at 7 p.m. August 25th, this Saturday, Redwood Gospel Mission and the Pastors Prayer and Ministry Alliance present the City Kids Festival, 10 a.m. until 5 p.m., providing school supplies, haircuts, and ministry to low-income families. And that is happening at Juilliard Park. The candle will be down there doing a cupcake walk. On the Labor Day weekend, it's a 3-day music festival with 60 bands, including Thousand Foot Crutch and John Rubin. It's Joshua Fest at the Plumas County Fairgrounds in Quincy, California. And looking ahead a little bit, September 8th, Fun in the Sun, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Lakeshore Drive in Clear Lake in Austin Park. It's going to be awesome. Live bands, a fun jumper, and it's all for free. Also on September 8th, the Benefit Gospel Concert for the Church Library at the Oakland Grand Avenue SDA Church in Oakland. And that's at 6 p.m. Lots more coming up. There's so much I can't even begin to tell you. But it's all listed on our website, www.thecandle.com. Coming up, Casting Crowns, East to West, Cutlass with Better is One Day. And we also got Lincoln Brewster, Everlasting God. No, we don't have that coming up. We have Open Skies, David Crowder Band, all next on The Candle.
The Candle, KNDL, Anglin. SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew.
West to West on the candle, lighting your way home. Good morning. Talking to Jill Shannon just a little bit ago. She is the author of Coffee Talks with Messiah, When Intimacy Meets Revelation. I absolutely could not put this book down. It was just a page-turner. And Jill and I were talking about that the Lord is a gentleman. He's going to stand at the door and knock. And we have to invite him in. And she was talking about pouring out your heart to God, just sharing the truth of what's inside of your spirit, good, bad, ugly, right, wrong, indifferent, whatever it is. And I mentioned that it's like if you had a house full of garbage. Let's just say you just refuse to take out your garbage, right? So you just pile up month after month after month of garbage, you know. And, yeah, you put it in a hefty bag, and it's neat and nice and lined up in your hallway. But nevertheless, that garbage is going to start to stink. Well, God is an awesome God. He's a gentleman. He's not going to bang the door down or kick it down. He's going to wait until you ask for help in taking that garbage out. And that's kind of what where Jill and I left off.
Anything out of us that we don't freely give him, freely tell him, and the garbage we don't freely take out, he won't take it.
You had a very interesting experience in a hotel room.
Yeah. And I used to hear people say, you know, you've got to cleanse the hotel room and spiritually before you get all settled in. And I didn't believe that, Monica, because I thought that if you're an upright believer and you're walking with God and you haven't opened any doors to Satan, you haven't opened the occult door, you haven't opened sinful or sexually sinful doors, I thought that Satan really couldn't touch you or do anything. And that was actually wrong. And I learned that the hard way in a hotel room in 2005. I had a very bizarre and shocking experience. And what I've learned, among many other lessons from that experience, which I do detail in the book a little more, is that Christians need to cleanse the room spiritually. It's not a great big ritual. It's not some kind of religious thing you do. It's just declaring the dominion and the lordship of Jesus over that room and over yourself and over the furniture. Because Jesus talked often about unclean spirits and driving out demons. So this really is a biblical concept, that there are unclean spirits, and sometimes bad, unrighteous things have happened in hotel rooms before we got there. And there are sometimes residual demons and evil things that live there, and they can attack us. And we have to just do a cleansing and just declare the blood of Jesus over that room and over the furniture, and every foul thing has to get out, and then the room is clean. That's the kind of the bottom line.
Right. Now, one final question. You are a Jewish believer.
Yeah.
And tell us about your heart for Israel.
Well, you know, God made unconditional covenants with Abraham. There are conditional covenants in the Bible, and conditional means, you know, if you obey and if you do this, then you will reap this blessing. And we see those kind of covenants at Mount Sinai. But before Mount Sinai, 400 years before, he made an unconditional promise to Abraham and to his descendants to give them the land, that little postage stamp of land that lies between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. And even when we are faithless, God is faithful, and he will not, he's the same. And his personality and his character and his heart and his covenants are unchanging. And so he still loves the Jewish people. And it was God that brought them back to that land in 1948. And actually, he started bringing the Jewish people back before 1948. And Paul says in Romans 11 that the Gentile believers that God has brought in from all the nations are grafted into Israel's olive tree, and that we stand together as one new man, one new humanity in Messiah. And it's very important that the church love and cover Israel with intercession and support, because the Jewish people that don't yet know their Messiah are kind of uncovered, and it's the blood of Yeshua, the Messiah, the King of Israel, that covers the Jewish people through the prayers of his faithful bride, the church.
Jill Shannon, I'm so thankful that you wrote this book.
Thank you.
And I'm so thankful that I got a chance to read it, and literally, like I said, couldn't put it down, would race home to read your book.
Thank you.
It's been such a blessing. Coffee Talks with Messiah. You also have a website. What is your website?
Yes, appropriately named. It's coffeetalkswithmessiah.com. So that's all one word, coffeetalkswithmessiah.com. And anyone that wants to learn more about the book or my worship music, or just you can read excerpts from the book on the website, and they can get more in touch with what my ministry is on that website, coffeetalkswithmessiah.com.
Well, it's just a gift to read, and thank you so much for being with us this morning all the way from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Philadelphia area.
Okay.
It's been a pleasure. I'm so grateful to have been with you this morning, Monica.
Here's Cutlass, Better Is One Day, on the candle.